corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because he's done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag and Underdog Fantasy. BetOnline continues to be the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting in 2025. Whether you're a seasoned fan or a first-time bettor, BetOnline is your ultimate game day companion. With the largest selection of odds on everything from football, the NBA, college basketball, to NHL and UFC, BetOnline is the number one sports betting source for the new year. From touchdowns to three-pointers and hat tricks, BetOnline has you covered on every game, every play, and every win. BetOnline, the game starts here. Want to make some quick cash and have fun during the NFL playoffs? Well, it's time to embrace your inner underdog. Over the last 3 weeks, we have given 11 selections, and we have cashed on 10 of those, predicting higher or lower on multiple different player statistics. So we are ready to continue this heater into the playoffs. So if you have yet to download the Underdog app, do so now and get free cash. Click the link in the description or use promo code CHIEFCONCERNS, one word, to claim your free pick plus first-time deposit offer up to $1,000 in bonus cash. It's NFL playoff season. So let's continue to keep the good vibes in 2025. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns, your post-game reaction show, AFC Wild Card Weekend Reaction Show. I'm Marcus Dash. That's my brother, Tasia Dash, and Jason Dunn will be joining us shortly. And the stage is set for AFC Divisional Weekend, where we will see our Chiefs for the first time in almost a month. The Chiefs will be taking on the Texans in a rematch from Week 16. That Saturday game, I think it was the Saturday before Christmas, and a lot of people thought that was going to be a game where we would have coughed that one up because we only played a few days later for that Steelers game. But yeah, so Texans took care of business yesterday in an upset, even though they were the home team, upset over the Chargers 32-12. Just another collapse by Justin Herbert and the Chargers, and I hope. I thought it was gonna be a while before I heard Justin Herbert's name being talked about as far as being in a team in the championship or divisional game. But Tony Romo, right when the game's going to be done, that Bills game, he's talking about Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes going to be in the AFC divisional week. And then he mentions, instead of mentioning C.J. Stroud, who's done it two years in a row, getting the AFC divisional, he brings up Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. Yeah, I'm sure we'll see those guys soon, Jim. I'm sure we'll see those guys in the divisional weekend. Well, stop bringing those guys up. We saw Herbert choke yesterday again, and we see Burrow continue to lose his continue to not get in the playoffs. So enough of talking about those guys. Give C.J. Stroud some credit. You know, regardless if he had a good sophomore season or not, he's got his team back in the divisional 2 years in a row. So congrats to the Houston Texans, and that'll be a good game. J.D. will be joining us shortly to talk about this. But, Tej, what did you make of what you saw from the Houston Texans game yesterday? And obviously we'll talk about the Bills shellacking the Broncos after a promising start in that game.
Kind of similar. They had a promising start too. The Chargers did. It looked like they were going to be at least in the game. And they just completely flipped. Texans defense. I don't know who to give or take away more credit. Give more credit to the Texans for forcing as many turnovers as they did, or just was it just the Chargers' complete collapse and choke? Overall, if you deep dive some of the numbers, the Texans, I think they had 13 total drives. Only three of them went for more than five plays. So they didn't really have to sustain anything and really try to have long drives and eat the clock. They didn't have to. The Chargers just kept giving the ball. So it's a really hard game to gauge as far as offense and defense because, you know, Chargers offense didn't show up.
No, I'm seeing a lot of people dogging the Broncos in this one. Lenny, what happened to the Broncos? They handled the Chiefs without a problem last week. Broncos would have beaten the Bills if they started their third string. Oh, Lenny, come on. Let the Broncos have their
I think we go more after that loss they just took. But yeah, no, I mean, I will say, I think we kind of mentioned on the show last week that the Chiefs giving them a look with the third stringers going into a game against Buffalo may have hindered them a little bit, right? Your last game, obviously the Cincinnati game was great the week prior. Then you play the third stringers, and then you got to go play Buffalo right after that. Not really setting you up for success there as far as a good look before you go play Buffalo.
It's horrible. It's like playing like a D3 school before you're about to play like one of the finalists.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like playing like Washington and Jefferson before having to play like Texas or Michigan or Ohio State or something like that.
Yeah, but it's horrible.
Yeah. So glad Broncos were able to get to the playoffs. I think it was a big thing for them. It was cool to see AFC West had three teams represented in the playoffs this year. A lot of people were kind of thinking the AFC West wasn't what it was. Harbaugh and Sean Payton made the most of their squad. So congratulations to those teams. Bye. This is the AFC divisional rounds for winners, and you guys aren't there yet. So enjoy the offseason. Enjoy Cancun. But now it's time for the real dogs to be playing here. But yeah, talk about the Texans. Yeah, Texans looked pretty abysmal yesterday. I thought they were going to get dog walked, but they kind of, turnovers. That kind of really helped them get into the game. Drop passes. Will Disley's drop, or the deflection off his hands into Stingley's hands. I believe it was Stingley, or Eric Murray, I believe, a former Chief. JD, what's going on, brother? JD, you called the Broncos winning this game, and Bills came out. They came out strong. I'll give Broncos credit. And the Bills just kind of put the clamps on them after that. What did you make of the game, the Buffalo Bills and Broncos game, JD?
So I didn't get to see the game until fourth quarter.
Okay.
So I'm not quite sure what everything that happened. I just seen the score of it. And I just, to be honest with you, we understand it's going to be a tough environment to play up there in Buffalo. I think it's one of the things that makes them so difficult to win, especially in a place like that. It's because of their fan base. We know their fan base is something that is very, it can cover you. It's very high pressure area that you got to be able to try to win. It's a lot to try to navigate, especially going in there as a rookie quarterback. But I did believe that they was going to have a better shot than what they did. They just didn't have the same juice, And so, when you're up against something like Josh Allen, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. Toward the end, I had to say this. So I put a little bet, parlay. I needed Bo Nix to get 200 yards to win about $600 and lost out on that.
Awesome.
Parlays.
Man.
He should have had – I mean, I had one of those too. He should have had that. I mean
– he should have had it.
That last drive was – the last two drives were terrible. I mean, like, his last drive was terrible.
Yeah, just blah.
How could you not pick up at least garbage?
Right.
Garbage time yards.
Yeah.
I was looking at that last drive. I was like, okay, he's at 138. They're at like the 25-yard line. They're going to pass this whole time.
Absolutely.
He should score a touchdown here, and they should get that 200 yards.
Yes. Yes. The fact that y'all went on fourth down and wasn't able to get it because you're short, come up short, which to me is just ridiculous. Anytime you see a guy do things like that, and he's like, what are you thinking? Is there no self-awareness? Does nobody know where you are as far as the sticks where to be for first down? And so that's why Sean Payton came down and he was livid. Well, it's because of things like that. It's like, are y'all wanting to win? Like, y'all got to know y'all got to be beyond the sticks to get a first down to keep moving the chains. But like you said, Tasia, I felt the same way. Like, dude, how is it there's no sense of urgency toward the end like that? Like, your back's up against the wall. And I kind of figured, like, then you come out firing the ball. Mims didn't really have a good game. He didn't get him involved as far as I started looking at some of the numbers. So, Vele, he's dropping everything that was thrown to him. That's what I saw, like I said, fourth quarter, what I seen of the game. Just no sense of urgency whatsoever.
It was completely done after that terrible, terrible fourth down play. To Jaleel McLaughlin, I think the 20-15 yard line, they couldn't even get that. It was like fourth and two, fourth and three. That was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, it does set up for a really good divisional round. I mean, you got Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen on one side, and that'll be a great match just to watch the Bills and Ravens kind of go at each other. And then on the other side, it's no cakewalk. I'm not saying that, but playing the Texans versus playing one of those teams in the divisional round. It's a much better opponent for us this week. But, JD, we saw Texans and Chargers yesterday. Texans obviously will be playing next week. We'll be hosting them again, a rematch of the Week 16 game where we kind of handled our business pretty goodly, good against them. Hollywood Brown's first game back, that Saturday game before Christmas. Texans yesterday, underdogs at home against the Chargers. You know, they start out that game. They could have easily been down 14-0, but their defense held, stood their ground in the red zone. They made turnovers, opportunistic yesterday, and that's a team that, you know, they're an opportunistic team this year. I think they're in the top half of the league in turnovers. What did you make of the Texans yesterday? And is that a team that, you know, kind of worries you a little bit as we get into the divisional round next week?
No, so this is the game I did call right. This is the one I did say that the Texans are going to win this game.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, pretty much kind of the same thing when you have – you know, Nico Collins, if Joe Mixon gets off, you got a very good defense. You know, need all those different things to kind of happen, and it did. We played them, we beat them, but we also understand that this is the playoffs. These guys are riding high. DeMarco, he's going to have those guys ready to come play. And so when you beat a team like the Chargers, that does give you a lot of confidence, a lot of confidence. But I had to go to just the same thing. The element of just playing at somebody else's home, okay, is really that's one of the things that you try to measure, and it's hard to do. So coming to Arrowhead, man, is going to be tough, difficult for Houston, especially when you've been playing as a dome team. You're coming out here playing in the elements. The guys will be ready, but I think for us, I don't believe it's going to be too much of a challenge. I really don't. So that's one thing we just had to see.
They didn't have a great offensive game. They were 5 for 14 from third. They had 86 penalty yards. They still turned the ball over, three times. So offensively, they didn't look great. Mixon got over 100, but he needed 25 carries to do it. So he grinded his way there. And again, like I said earlier, before you came on, out of their 13 drives, JD, only three went for more than five plays.
Really?
So they weren't, you know, they weren't clicking on all cylinders by any means. When you get handed, you know, a touchdown and then three turnovers on top of that, it's rough. I mean, you can't recover from that.
Yeah. Well, who was that? The one he threw the ball to, got him going. And that was like the one that pretty much kind of started them, like, just like, okay, we could kind of do this. Got him their first down where he rolled out, the Charger, you know, sprinting on him.
Yeah, it was a Xavier Hutchinson rollout where he found him in the middle of the field.
Yeah, yes, yeah. And that was like the spark they needed. And so, you know, it's the same thing, man. It, you know, it ebb and flows. How does the game work as far as, you know, having momentum going into the, you know, the halftime, a field goal, and then all of a sudden you get the ball coming out at half. You know, those things are all important, especially during the playoffs. So teams are trying to take advantage of as much as possible. So we understand, man, look, this is a good Houston team. And we just got to be prepared for them. But as far as, like, being scared of them, no. But they're going to bring the A game. We know that. They're going to bring the A game. And they got, like I said, their defense is really good. So that's going to be one of our biggest questions is, how's their defensive line going to, the front seven going to play against our offensive line and whatnot? How's it going to look? So,
and there's going to be a lot of storylines to come from this game. Obviously, you talked about the differences of them playing in Arrowhead, playing on the road in the playoffs, how it's so different. And on top of that, you mentioned they're a dome team. And just looking at their – and they play in a division where they play the Colts. That's a dome team. Jags and Titans, not domes. But they only played six outdoor games this year. They were 3-3 in those games. The wins were against the Titans at the end of the season, Jags, Pats, and then the three losses on the road were Jets, Chiefs, and Packers.
Okay.
So, playing a team that's kind of a – well, Jets not so much, but Packers and Chiefs, I would say, of the better teams, and playing them on the road there, that's – I mean, if you're playing on the road – you're playing in January, and I anticipate it being a very cold Saturday night game next week. So that's going to be a little different for them. Also, another storyline there, too, is leading into that Saturday game against the Texans, that Tim Settle talking about What was the award choice? He said, JD, he was gonna make Patrick Mahomes feel the pressure. It wasn't a threat. It was a promise or whatever. And he ended up doing nothing in that game. So that kind of stuff lives on. That bulletin board material will live on and fuel the guys going to this game.
True. Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, I guess guys really they took care of that business then. I don't know if it carries over. Some can think that. I think now, to be honest with you, man, you ain't really looking for bulletin board material. You're not.
We don't need it.
You don't need that to motivate you for the playoffs. This is it. If you can't get up for a playoff game, you don't need to be there. You don't need to suit up. You don't need. You could take 8 cups of coffee and come in and just be juiced up. But if your mind's not there and you're thinking about just Lombardi's championship, then it doesn't even matter. So, yeah, you don't need Baltimore material. You just don't need it right now at this point.
Yeah. And, I mean, they really still haven't replaced the – I know they signed Deontay Johnson, but they still haven't really replaced Tank Dell, and that's who killed us last game. It wasn't Nico. Nico having 7 for 60, which is good. It's a good game, but Tank had, 6 for 100 and a touchdown before he went down. So, hopefully we – build off that and say, we stopped Mixon pretty good. So, I mean, and Stroud had 2 picks against us. I forgot about that. Was that one of McDuffie's? No.
Was McDuffie's one in the end zone? That was the second pick, I believe.
Yes. One of those was McDuffie, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think Nico Collins is a guy that you must be able to be ready to defend. Because he once he gets hot, big receiver, man, runs great routes, great hands. He's ascended to being one of the better receivers in the league. And you got to look out for it. So that's going to be a good matchup as far as, like, what we're going to do secondary-wise. So we just kind of we'll go through it, okay, as far as, like, matchups, what it's going to look like. So we know our secondary against their wide receivers, how's it going to look? Okay, Nico Collins, we said Michi, Deontay Johnson, is he going to be ready to come play, give something? I'm sure, especially this game, he will. And then, of course, I mean, Schultz does a great job. We've always had problems with tight ends. Didn't really have a monster game against us. But we know they're going to get the ball to him as well. Joe Mixon does a good job catching the ball out the backfield. So if we run a man against him, we know we got to be able to cover him as well. So there's different things that as far as, like, presents a challenge to us that we know we got to be tight with. And then, like I said before, we start going on the offensive side of the ball. They got some very good corners. So our wide receivers got to come out and come play. Travis got to have a good game. Him and Noah Gray, offensive line, especially against their defensive line, is another matchup. So I think all those things play into it, like how this game might come out, how might bear it out. But I still think, I know we do still have the better team, no question about it, and better coaches all the way around.
And Vegas thinks so as well. 7.5-point favorite. So they've already released the lines for next week. Chiefs are 7.5-point favorites, so more than a touchdown. And then the Bills are 1.5-point favorite against the Ravens on the other side of the bracket. 7.5 points. It's a lot for a divisional game. I mean, considering every game so far this playoffs has been a blowout. I think the average point of margin so far is 18 points in the wild card round so far. So 7.5 points. Kind of more than a touchdown. You'll take more than a touchdown in the NFL whenever you're getting that kind of spread there.
Yeah. Barbershop said, let's keep the main thing, all about the Houston Texans. Bradley Sexton said, don't forget we're getting Jalen Watson back next week. That is, we don't know what condition he's in. Is he game ready? That's the question. Well, I don't know if he is or not. So.
They haven't reported that he is coming back yet. His window opened up with last week or 2 weeks ago. So we don't know if he'll be able to come back for this game or not. And if he does come back, in what condition, like you said, what condition he's going to be in. He's going to get maybe a couple snaps. Steven Nelson could be an interesting one. We've talked about him for a while. Maybe comes back, finally gets his old team in a playoffs. Could you imagine that?
True. That's a storyline. Yes, it is.
So very true.
Right there. Mm-hmm.
And they've been waiting for him for a little bit. JD, look at the other side of the bracket. You got Bills and Ravens. What did you see Ravens wise yesterday? Obviously you didn't watch the Bills game today, but you saw what the score was, but what did you see from the Ravens? I thought yesterday the Ravens, while albeit they won by 2 touchdowns, first half of that game, they dominated them. Second half, you saw Pittsburgh was hitting on some deep plays, big plays, big chunk plays against them to come back in that game and make it more interesting than it was. But otherwise, first half was just kind of just Baltimore domination. And then second half, they kind of, you know, took the foot off the gas a little bit, it seemed like.
Ben, I was talking to my brother, good friend, T. Rich. Me and T. Rich was just sitting there saying, this is just an old slug, smash mouth football running down your throat, and you can't do anything about it. And that's exactly what they did. Derrick Henry, and then you had Lamar Jackson just taking the ball in his hand. This is the reason a guy of a caliber like Lamar Jackson is so dangerous. And he's been able to throw the football. He threw some great balls yesterday, man. On point. Just anticipation. I'm like, wow. I seen them. They were showing the numbers, kind of getting off of it, of him and Josh Allen at the end of the game. And they was like, oh, we don't know what to say. I'm looking at the numbers. I'm like, shoot, look at the numbers. What does the numbers say? Totally different. Totally different right there. So I just – what they do with Derrick Henry looks lean. He's powerful. He's big. He's doing everything out there. Look, they look good. The Ravens look good. I'm not going to mix bones about it, man. Them jokers are looking really, really good right now on all cylinders. But, Buffalo, they beat Buffalo early in this year, but it was at the Ravens. So it's going to be up here at Buffalo now. So they'll just have to – that's what they have to manage. That's what they have to really deal with. They still with their game plan and whatnot. I think the Ravens will come out on top. I think they'll beat the Bills up there. It's going to be a good game. I said, man, it's going to be a really, really good game. So, but.
Yeah. Go
ahead.
I'll say, like you mentioned, Baltimore 35-10 when they met earlier on the season, 35-10. And that, obviously that was at Baltimore, not in Buffalo. But yeah, they spanked them the last time they saw them.
Yeah.
That's going to be a slugfest. I mean, three great teams in the AFC. It's, that's why you want the number one seed right there. Also great to have home field advantage, but just let two teams like that face each other in the second round. Yeah, it's great. I mean, again, Houston's no cakewalk, but having to face Buffalo or Baltimore right now would be brutal.
Oh, yeah.
They let Pittsburgh, I guess, back into the game, a pulse. Just because, they just took their foot off the pedal or the gas and just ran the ball and just tried to run the clock out from there on out. I mean, they had 50 carries for 300 yards rushing. I mean, you're up by 21 points in the first half. Just run the ball. You got Derrick Henry for that. Just do it.
See, and that's my thing. Yeah, they let him back in the game. We just sitting there saying it was good just to see Pittsburgh, like you said, have that fight and a pulse. You know, that's Mike Tomlin. Like, look, you guys can't give it up. Y'all can't. And they kind of gave him somewhat of a chance. But they could have done. The Ravens could have did whatever they wanted to do against Pittsburgh, and they knew it. They knew it. That was how they did spy. They spied Lamar. Didn't work. Too fast. Get around the corner. Because the thing is, I hand it off to Derrick Henry. I'm running around the corner, okay, on this option. What are you going to do? And so they give him so much just to look at it, so much to try to defend. Then you hit him with the play action. So 50 rushes. That is an old woodshed whooping. That's what that is. Beat your head in. Can't do nothing about it. And he looked like a grown man amongst boys and kids. What he's doing. They didn't want to tackle Derrick Henry. They didn't want to do it. So he stepped on him and put him on the ground. And he was killing him out there. Killing him. So, fun game to watch.
JD, this is – so, obviously, I know you're one of these – you don't want to dodge anybody, right? You think we could take on anybody. But seeing this question here from Anthony Watkins, and this is something that Tayshaun and I talked about yesterday a little bit. Who would you rather play the Chiefs play in the AFC Championship game, Bills or Ravens? Now – I'm not saying we're avoiding anybody, right? And we're not scared of anybody. But based on matchup and based on how our team is built, who's a better opponent for us between Ravens and Bills?
Who's a better opponent? Parking lot, Marcus. Parking lot right here, right? You put it out there on a tweet, parking lot. This is what this is. Oh, man. Okay, you're going to sit down on your car. Okay, you're going to lay out on your on the hood of your car, wait for somebody to come up. You're playing the 80s music. Boom, 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 and you're ready for them, right? You got your cutoff shirt on. You're ready to throw blows. That's what it is, okay? Okay, just bottom line. But if you're sitting there saying, if I had my druthers, I had a choice, who I wanted. Actually, I would want Buffalo. I want Buffalo. We own something. We own something. That was our only loss of the season, real loss of the season. I want Buffalo.
It's true.
Yeah.
The only revenge game we have.
That's it. Put them over the head, beat them over the head. Come into Arrowhead. We owe y'all a little something, okay? We're going to give you a little of this on your chin, okay? All right? That's what I want to see.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I mean, again, like you said, do we really need bulletin board material? It's the game to get into the Super Bowl, right? It's like, it's right there. Mm-hmm. And most likely, that'll be the toughest opponent we play in the postseason at all. So I don't think the NFC opponent's going to be tougher than that. So getting over that hill is, you know, like most of the battle right there. Not most. I mean, you can't overlook the Super Bowl opponent, but you know what I mean? Yeah, I think we do have an extra edge with facing them. I also think, who do you think feels better going into that game against us, Buffalo or Baltimore?
Baltimore.
They do, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think for them, man, to wear out Pittsburgh like the way they did, to run the football, what I just saw offensively saying, we're going to do whatever we want to do. At the end of the day, Justice Hill tried to take a ball away from Lamar. He had it. He was going to give it. Justice was like, wait a minute, hold on. That's,
I know.
Mara's like, no, this is mine. He's going to will himself to try to win. He's going to try to will himself to win. So I think that's for them. They feel like they have a better choice, you know, better chance at least with Derrick Henry and Lamar running the football in their hands. And they do that.
They want revenge too.
They want revenge. Absolutely.
They lost by that much.
Oh, finally get the monkey off their back, you know, going to Arrowhead and going to win. So, but yeah, I would want the Bills. I would really want the Bills to come in because it took 4th and 2 and a heroic effort by Josh Allen to beat us. That's what it was. And their back was against the wall. They needed it. They had to get it. Well, no question. So.
And also, too, besides the first game of the season, how close they were, Lamar talked about it. He did an interview with what was either Fox or ESPN. But he talked about the AFC Championship game still lives in his head. He still thinks about that game and how close they were to getting to the Super Bowl, getting over the hump. And I think that plays a big part, too. The revenge factor from the AFC Championship game last year. I think that's the big thing to be able to come back into our house and kind of deliver the same kind of tribute we gave them in their house last year. I think that plays a big part in it as well. So I think that's going to be something that like they're going to want that badly, especially because that's pretty much the same team they had last year, addition of what with Derrick Henry. So like they, you know, that's pretty much the same guys coming into that our Arrowhead is to get back what we stole from them last year.
And you tend to go back and forth with really good teams playing against really good teams, whereas Ravens, we beat them twice in a row. Once to finish off last year, once to start this year. And they lost this year by a tip of a shoe. So
supposedly
they really feel like they want it bad coming into KC.
Yeah. That tip of the shoe was only going to get them into going to an overtime. That was it.
They were calling for two, though, on that play.
Nah, I'm saying I'm going for two.
I was nervous when they went to commercial break and they had Harbaugh doing the doing that. I was like, oh no. I was like, oh, and then like quick commercial break, and I was like, okay, no, his foot was out of bounds, no touchdown.
Man.
Obviously with next week at Houston, right? And you talk about how Joe Mixon, pretty much for the entirety of that first half of the game, the Chargers kind of contained him. He didn't do much. Second half is when he kind of went off. And then you talk about Joe Mixon, and I know they, you know, he has playoff experience going deep with the Bengals, veteran in this league. But Chiefs contained him big time when we played him this past season, or week 16. 14 carries for 57 yards in that game, one catch. I mean, you couldn't really do much in that game. And obviously, you guys talked about the Tank Dell. Once Tank Dell went out, their kind of offense kind of sputtered a little bit. If I know you said you aren't worried about Houston, but is there – you would say probably their X factor in that game is Nico Collins. If you shut down Nico Collins, that's pretty much shutting down their offense. Is that how you feel about it?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. If Nico don't have a good game, yeah, you call the reps. Cancel Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what it is, so –
And I think I saw in the chat here, Justin Reed, there was a few times where Justin Reed was kind of a manned up on Nico Collins, but we were kind of lost out there. I know you said you want Joshua Williams to kind of man up on Nico Collins because the two big bodies going up against each other. How do you think they need to kind of change up what they did in that game going forward or next week when we play them?
I mean, I would prefer to have a corner on Nico Collins the whole game. Like I don't care if he goes inside, you go with him. It's man. Like, that's who you have. You know, I don't want to see just a read on Nico Collins at all. Not one series, not one play. No reason for him to be.
Yeah.
Zero. So, you know, he's going to have his hands full with Schultz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if we're getting everybody back, like you said, Nelson – and whatnot, and we'll see how it's going to look these next couple of weeks. We'll see how, well, next week, we're going to see how it's going to look. Who's practicing? Who's going to be out there on the field? We're going to see all of that, right? I think it'll start to at least blossom. You'll start to get a clearer picture of what that's going to look like. But I know these guys are rested. I know they are ready. They are ready to play. Watching these games, I'm sure these guys, their juices are flowing. So they can't wait to get back in Arrowhead, man, and finish up on this three-peat. And then whoever's left over from this, you know, the Bills and Ravens game, bring it on too. We ain't scared of anybody. Just the reality. We're not. So.
Yeah, it looks like – I don't know if it's confirmed yet, but it looks like the Chiefs will be playing the primetime game on Saturday. It will be the 8:30 game on Saturday next week. That's what that's what everyone anticipates because the one seed played at 8:30 last year on that Saturday night. So that if they're going by the same schedule as last year, then we would have the primetime game Saturday. So it should be interesting. It's going to be an interesting week. Like JD said, be on the lookout to see who's active at practice, who's on the injury report. If we see more spottings of Steven Nelson, this is the week it would make the most sense for him to kind of be out there against his team in the playoffs. And plus, if we do need the DB help, that would be nice to have the veteran who knows his team probably more than anybody else on our defense. So, but yeah, guys. Eagles just scored a touchdown in the opening drive. Keyshawn Nixon fumbled the ball on the kick return, and they got the ball in the red zone, and the Eagles scored.
Say it again.
Eagles scored a touchdown. Keyshawn Nixon fumbled. Yeah. What's that?
Scoop and score?
No, it was a pass of Jalen Hurts to Jahan Dotson.
Jahan Dotson.
Yeah. The Walmart did reply to Travis Kelce about doing the Walmart Bengals game in the offseason. They said they'll paint some end zones, apparently.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Oh, JD, KC's got a comment here. I'm excited to see Andy Reid open up the playbook. The Upley Woodley book. I'm thinking maybe the playbook. I know you're big on the playoff playbook, JD. Do you anticipate that?
You'll see some plays that, you know, all it is window dressing. It's what it is. That's it. They run the same plays, a lot of myriad plays, different ways, different setting, different motions. But he's going to have some new wrinkles in there for sure. Absolutely. But the playbook's been open. I'm sure there's probably about 5 or 6 plays that they've been holding on to their hand, close to their heart, just to deal with. But, yeah, they'll be ready. They'll be ready.
And Andy Reid coming off a bye.
Yeah.
Yep. A 3-week bye. If you count last week as a bye. Some do, some don't.
Go ahead. I was going to ask you a question. Go ahead.
Yeah. Landon Cool's got a question for JD. At Jason Dunn, any concerns about the Chiefs' O-line heading to this game?
Absolutely not. No concerns whatsoever. I think I made this point. I said it on Twitter. If y'all haven't seen my post that I said, is that I do believe that DJ Humphreys needs to be the starting left tackle if he's healthy. And if he's ready to go, he needs to be the starting left tackle. Joe Tooney has been an incredible left tackle, okay? But Joe Tooney is specialized at left guard. DJ Humphrey is specialized at left tackle. Mike Caliendo filled in and did a good job at left guard. Did a good job. But Joe Tooney is the greater of the two. And so when we look at it, what two combinations of guys are better? And that would be DJ Humphrey and Joe Tooney.
Yeah.
That's the reality. And so DJ Humphrey was a Pro Bowler for a reason, and he looked decent. Not everything that he was there. The last game was perfect, but he did look good. He gave you some solid reps. And I think those things that Andy, those guys wanted to see, if he could still move around, you know, still good, as he healed up from the hamstring injury, and it looked like he was. But you could tell a difference between a guy that's played the position, his technique, is just more cleaner. That's his specialty. He's been doing it for a long time at a high level. So I have no concerns whatsoever for the offensive line. I don't. But we know what the contingency plan, I've said that. We know what the contingency plan is. DJ Humphrey starts thinking it up, if something happens, Joe Tooney moves back out, right? Mike Caliendo comes in.
How long of stinking would you take before you throw out the trash? You know,
if he's just getting beat, he didn't look like he can move, look like his feet are just in quicksand, you know, on concrete, then that's where you make the move.
So a pretty short leash.
Yeah. I mean, there's no need to wait. Let's just say a guy gets beat. Well, shoot, all guys get beat.
Yeah.
You know, it just happens. But if it's like, he's struggling. If it looks like he's visibly struggling out there, they'll ask him, how do you feel? That's a great indicator. And so we know, regardless of it, certain things don't lie. You can lie to yourself. One thing don't lie, film. And also, too, when you start looking at the coaches, looking at your technique and fundamentals, we got you, buddy. Have a seat with us, okay? Coach, I'm good. Okay, I got it. You good. Have a seat, okay? Sit over here by me. I got a nice little spot over here for you. Keep watching. Maybe we'll put you back in. Joe, come on. Hey, come on, move on out here. That's what it would be. But I'm not going to be quick on the gun when I don't need to, Tase. Yeah. Right? He just got beat. Well, shoot. Pat need to escape. Pat need to do the same thing they always do. So I think, man, DJ Humphrey's going to be good. I ain't got no problem with that whatsoever.
Yep. Yeah. And Tooney, ironically, Tooney against the Texans, that was his first game starting as the left tackle, was a Texans game, because that was the following week after the Browns debacle where they allowed like 10 sacks in that game against Pat. But Tooney comes in at left tackle. Like, they only had one sack that game against Pat. Tooney did a fine job. So obviously Tooney's shown that he can be a reliable left tackle in general, but a reliable left tackle against specifically this team. So obviously the
contingency has a good pass rush.
Yeah. Yeah, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. So you got two guys.
Yeah. Will ain't no joke, man. He's good.
Yeah.
And Tim Settle too. Another guy that got on that D line.
Yeah.
And Autry on that is on that line as well too. So there's some guys.
Yeah.
It's a good pass rush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anime 2077. Says, honestly, I would see if Wanye can handle and keep Tooney at guard. He helps the run game.
I like Wanye, but Wanye's not as stout at left tackle like I've seen DJ Humphrey is. DJ Humphrey, he anchors, meaning he'll put his butt down, low center of gravity, to take a punch. His punch is a lot more meaner, a lot more stronger, for more powerful than Wanye's are, anime. And so when I'm making the comparison between the two, you could tell a guy that's been doing it for a long time at a high level, as opposed to maybe Wanye, who's been struggling, who may need to get a little bit stronger, a little bit better on his punch, and needs to anchor a little bit better than what he has done. Wanye has, and I'm look, and don't get me wrong, I like Wanye, I do. I think he's a very talented guy, but he's been getting beat on the inside too. So part of it, what he was dealing with during the training camp, was his feet. And so those are things that you got to continue to work on. And he kind of got hurt a little bit. But DJ Humphreys, without doubt, is a better left tackle than Wanye. Oh, yeah. Now I just meant that as a backup. No, anime, absolutely. 100%. I agree with you 100%. Yeah, Wanye should be we'll have to see.
Yeah. Now, it should be interesting to see what they do, and I do hope Humphreys is back, and he should be back based on all indications. There was no limitations for him after the game last week, so yeah. So hopefully that'll do the trick for our O-line. But guys, thanks for everyone for stopping by after this post game.
I have one last note before we go. The streak continues. My buddy sent me this tweet from someone else. Tim Tebow is still the only Broncos quarterback to be drafted by the Broncos who's won a playoff game.
Wow.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What? Wait, hold on. Wait a minute. No, say it again.
Tim Tebow is the only Broncos drafted quarterback to ever win a playoff game.
I mean, you talking about recently?
No, Elway wasn't drafted by them. Elway was traded to them on draft day.
Oh, that's right.
It wasn't the Colts?
Yeah.
Wow. He's the only one?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then he only completed two passes that game too, right?
It's a hell of a slant though to Demaryius Thomas. Yeah, it was.
John Elway was drafted by the Colts. Yep.
I forgot about that.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, Bo Nix had a good year, so I mean they did. Yeah. They definitely have themselves a quarterback.
Maybe next year.
We'll see. But all right, guys. So that does it for our post-game show this AFC Wild Card weekend. JD and I will be back. We'll be back to our normal schedule. So JD and I will be back tomorrow night for our Monday morning tight end show. Not grading anything. We have nothing to grade this week. So, guys, just like we do in the offseason, come bearing questions and bringing questions for JD and myself. And we'll have a nice conversation tomorrow night. And obviously Wednesday, we'll do a full preview of the Texans game. And we'll be back at it next Friday for the bets, and Saturday as well for the following of the game. But it's playoffs are here, baby. We are here. We've made it.
Oh, we can play some football, folks. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, wait, baby. Hey, wait. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, I'm going to have some 5-4s this week.
You need to change your shirt after the 5 keys.
Yeah. You know what, man? I might go ahead and just rip it all off. Come on through here. Okay? Come on through. All right? So it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good ride, folks. Come on through. Come check it out.
Okay? Three-peat season, baby. Three-peat season. All right, guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow night, and we hope you guys enjoy the rest of the playoff slate tonight. And go Baker. Go Baker, baby. Baker, touchdown go Baker.
Let's see, right, babe, go on cook, baby. All right. Stacey, Marion Oliver, Lenny DeCool, Charles Driver, Andre Chenault, Greg Rose, Barbershop, Anime 2077, Flex 609, Knight Halter. I think that's how you say it. Just want to say, give everybody a shout who came in here. Check us out. Nana Sherry as well. Vickel Singh. DeMonte Green Bees is in the house, man. Good seeing you as well. Don Peterson, my brother. Good talking to you. Hearts and Roses as well. Anthony Watkins, Bradley Sexton, Optimistic James. Let me see, who did I forget anybody? Stu Thompson, I just want to make sure I gave a shout out to everybody who came through here, man. Y'all didn't have to. Gulia, Julia, good seeing you. I think that's it. Bobby Negative, Zach Devlin, Hannah. I think that's it, fellas. Justin Hutchins as well. Oh, proud of man. Yes, a few folks showed up. Good to seeing y'all, man. Yeah. Napis Foster, Maria Trainer. Good seeing you all. Brothers, man. Appreciate y'all. Love y'all. We're going to be watching these games for the rest of it.
That's right. All right. Love y'all.
All right. Love you
guys. Have a good night, guys.
Care. Be careful.
Later on. All right.
See you guys. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.